The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, while the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again gathered inside, and now Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and place it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus went on to say, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And through him and this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. When I turn on my microphone, let me pause for a few moments and look at this gospel reading and lift out of it some teaching, some revelation, something that might enrich us in our understanding of God's presence in our lives, a grace to assist us in the journey of life. I reach into the Word of God to find something which is not so obvious at the first reading. So let me attempt to summon out of this a teaching which may not appear at first reading. Plato, 300 years before Christ, made this statement about life. He said, "We are fired into life with a madness that comes from the gods, that makes us believe we are destined for a great love." Now, Rollheiser, in one of his very early books, The Restless Heart, interpreting this, he says there is a divine energy inside of every person that makes them yearn to be chosen, yearn to be loved, yearn to belong. It's a divine energy that's inside of us Plato spoke about it. We are fired into life with this deep, deep energy to belong, to be loved, to be chosen. Let me reflect on that for a few moments. Here's a human story, but stories have teachings. This happened to me on two different occasions, but on one occasion some years ago, this young lady, she is 27 years old, that I had known all her life, I baptized her. She belonged to a family who were very good friends of mine. But I hadn't seen her for some years. But she called me and she said, I have a crisis in my life. I have to come to see you. I said, Lorraine, come. I'll be happy to see you. So she drove a distance and came to see me. I took her out to lunch. Her crisis was she was 27 years old and she was looking for a good Catholic man. And she said, I meet all these low-life guys, one-night stand, these guys who are trying to take advantage of people. But she was an honorable person, a religious woman, went to Mass every Sunday in her parish. And this was her crisis, to find a good Catholic man. And I said, Lorraine, the Lord will take care of you. So I'm going to pray with you that you'll find this good Catholic man. So we agreed that we'd both pray intensely to solve her crisis. Well, time went by, and a couple of months later, she called me and said, I have to come to see you again. She came and said, it's not working. I didn't meet this good Catholic man. So we talked and talked, and I said, why don't we just pray for a good man? He doesn't have to be Catholic. So we agreed that we're going to pray intensely to find this good man. Catholic will work out later. So we're praying away. I haven't heard from her for maybe 3 or 4 months. And she called me, and she was so excited. I mean, I could feel the energy in the phone. She was at a wedding and she met this really nice guy. And he took a shine to her, and now he calls her every day. He sends her flowers. She's transformed. Why is she transformed? Not because she's in love. She is transformed because she has been chosen. She is loved. She is unique. And somebody looked and said, you are special. You are unique. I choose you as my special person. Now I want you to hold that thought about being transformed and mentally look at a big question that at some time probably visits every one of us, and that is, who is my God? It may be in a crisis in your life, you say, how could God do this to me? Who is my God? Some great fear, and say, why isn't God helping me now? I have been praying, but God seems to be absent. Who is my God? So let me reflect on this very fundamental question about who is your God. And the God that you know is a God that was told to you by somebody else? Is it a God that you read about in a book? Or is it a God that you know, a God that you have experienced in your life? Thomas Merton, in his writing, says the greatest temptation we have is what he speaks about as the Promethean experience. You remember Prometheus? In the Greek mythology, he stole fire from the gods and gave it to humans. And the great god Zeus was so jealous because he had been deceived, and the fire was given to humans, and they wanted to keep humans down, servile, oppressed. So he was punished. He was chained to a mountain. And each day, an eagle would come and eat his liver. Because he was an immortal titan, he was going to live forever, and his liver would be renewed each day. He went through this suffering, and the suffering was eternal. Merton says that's our great temptation, that we interpret God as vindictive, as punitive, as judgmental. A false god, says Merton. So where do we look to find the true God? Look at the gospel today. Jesus Christ, he was betrayed. He was denied. He was abandoned by all his followers in his time of crisis. He was dismissed. His friends all walked away from him. And yet, after the resurrection, Jesus comes back. He makes the first move. He never punished anyone. He broke bread with sinners and tax collectors. He healed the leper, blessed the person who was lost, raised the dead, not because people earned it or deserved it. It was a gift of infinite love. Where do we go to find this experience of infinite love? The Universal Christ book by Richard Rohr deals very nicely with the great act of faith. The great act of faith is to accept acceptance. To accept the fact that we are infinitely loved. In all our foolishness, our naked humanity, we are infinitely loved. Now that's the great act of faith. To accept the fact that we are accepted just as we are. Not that we deserve it. We don't merit this. That's the infinite love of God in Jesus Christ. Once you experience the infinite love of God, like Lorraine, you will be transformed. You will change your life. It's no easy task, this great act of faith. It requires quiet space. It requires prayer. And someday you touch the fringes of God's infinite love and you are transformed. In the last few days, I've visited two persons, special people, Sheila and Phyllis. They're both on hospice. They will enter into glory within the next week or so. The greatest grace we need at this time when we're dying is to believe that we are loved, to accept the acceptance of God's infinite love. That's the prayer, that's the anointing, to say you are cherished, you are loved, have no fear, let your soul be peaceful. You are embraced by God's infinite love. You don't have to earn it, you didn't deserve it. It's a gift, it's a gift. So look at Jesus in the gospel today. He comes back and he says to his disciples, peace be with you. I know you abandoned me. You walked away. You treated me like a failure. So who's your God? Who is your God? Somebody recently said, our God is a God of war. Pope Leo said, the true God is not a God of war. The true God is a God of love. And that's what gives me life. That's why we come together here, to celebrate God's infinite love for us. Once you catch the infinite love of God, it's transforming. So spend some quiet time sometime reflecting on God's great love for you. Let your past sins go. Get rid of the shame you have for something in your past. Overcome the weakness which is in your awareness. For our faith teaches us that we are infinitely loved. Is there room for everybody in the house of the Lord? We are all infinitely loved. Who is perfect? All are loved. This is our God, and this is our faith. Amen.